jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Round 12 Supercoach Coach Podcast. My name's Marcus, and this week we're joined again by Moosey. Welcome back, mate.
G'day, mate. How you going? Good to have me again.
You brought some really good insight the last time. We got good feedback, so we're definitely looking forward to having you back. And of our more regular hosts, we've had quite a few facing a tough week this week, a few out in hiding, a few needing some space for their own mental health. So it's good to have you on. I know you scored pretty well this week, as did I. And so hopefully we'll bring some energy to the show, mate, because we both had a fair move upwards in the stakes.
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, and I guess I'll kick it off. I ended up scoring 23-29. That moved me into the top 10K at about 9.5K. So finally, in there. I feel like I've been trying to get into that top 10 for a lot of weeks now, so it's good to be there. But also had on the pine Mount Rocky and Whitfield 65 and Williams on the pine also. So considering that, I'm pretty happy with that score and I feel like I'm moving forward now, which is great.
Yeah, nice one, mate. I just pipped you by a little bit, 23.56 for me. Also yeah, a nice big upward movement. So I'm sitting at around the 12K mark. I had the vice captaincy on Grundy, which I was a little bit nervous about taking, and then Gornan went and punished me with a big score, a 158 there. But no, I very, very happy with especially my forward line. Travis Boak, 130, Darling, 130, Danger, 130, Cameron, 109, Dunkley, nice. 119, and Tim Kelly, 92. So it's looking like a pretty elite forward line there, holding my team together. The rest of it's sticky tape, but they're doing their bit, which is good. In terms of a quick group update before we get to the questions for the week, our public group is currently being led by Michael's team, Break a Leg. He's moved up into 22nd overall, so congrats to Michael, who's taken the lead there. And in our Patreon group, our top score for the week is Scott's team, the Pantsman, who scored 25.03. That isn't quite enough to pip our current top score leader, which is Aussie Divers Phuket with 25.27. But a good score from Scott nonetheless, and I'm sure he will appreciate it on his journey up the ladder. In terms of our overall leader for the Patreon group, that's still Aiden's team, the Stargazing Goats, at 236th, and 120 points behind is Nicholas's team, the Revolution. A friendly reminder, if you are up for supporting the show by signing up as a patron, you also put yourself in contention to winning our cash group prize. All right, Moosey, now to some questions, and we're going to start off with some injury concerns. The first question here is from at BWarrell28. What amount of trades left or rookies left to upgrade should be the trading Whitfield cutoff? It's now being confirmed that Whitfield will be about 4 weeks with a collarbone injury. And even though Brett's question is about sort of what the trade boundary would be, I think I'd almost swipe that question aside and say, facing into the buys, if you're dealing with an injured premium who's out for that entire period, you have to pull the trigger and trade, in my opinion. I don't know if you can afford to hold on to an injured premium throughout the buys. What do you reckon about that, Moosey?
Yeah, got to agree. I think you'd have to be in pretty dire space with trades to not be trading Whitfield, and I'd probably say that Behringer would be sub-10 trades at the moment. Anything more than that, he's gone for 4 weeks. It's possibly more. Who knows with GWS as well with their information on injuries, but he's gone. We're coming up to the buys. It's a key premium, and the amount of premiums you've got playing over each week is going to be really important over the buys to score well, so it's an absolute trade for mine.
And it's a little bit unfortunate because Whitfield has only just returned fairly recently from a short layoff. And so to hold through all that is painful. But unfortunately, you're just in a position where you have to move him on, and acknowledging that he still might be, you know, a top three premium on the run home. But for now, you've got to look at trading him out, and, you know, down the track, potentially trading him back in, trades permit down the track. But his break evens 157, his price points 564,000, which is actually, you know, pretty decent. At one point, you know, he scored a 45. He saved that with a week after against Carlton, scoring 170, really preventing significant price decreases. So that's another sort of silver lining, is that Whitfield, you trade him out and you can almost side swap to, you know, we're talking like 95% of players.
Yeah.
In terms of top trade in options for Whitfield this week, because we're looking at the buys, you don't actually have to trade in a like-for-like premium. So you don't have to trade Whitfield out for a defensive premium. You can actually trade him out for midfield or forward premium. It doesn't really matter. We're not playing a full team. As long as you've completed that upgrade by the end of the upgrade cycle or by the end of the buy rounds, whether or not you trade Whitfield to a defensive premium, midfield or forward premium doesn't really matter a huge amount. It's more about buy balance more than anything. Would you agree with that, or would you be looking specifically at a backline replacement?
Yeah, no, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I'd really be taking a good look at your buy structure and use this as an opportunity. We might get into it a bit later, but everybody should really take the time to have a look at what their structure is over the next 3 weeks and who they're thinking they're going to bring in, and just have a good look at that, put some conservative projections around and work out where you're going to be. And this opportunity right now, turn a negative into a positive. It's a good opportunity to shore up one of those gaps where you might be short in one of those weeks, give you a bit better balance for sure.
And I mean, they're 43% of coaches with Whitfield. So you're in the same boat as 87,000 coaches. And I think, you know, you hit the nail straight on the head there. If you're a good coach, then a common pick going down with injury is actually an opportunity for you to make a smart decision or a smart trade that gets you a leg up above the rest. You know, when Whitfield's clearly a top two, top three premium and everybody absolutely has him, that's one less position that you can use your nous to get a step up on the rest of the comp. So that's another way to have a look at it. Really grasping for silver linings when we're saying going out is a good thing, but what's the strategy for bringing in a premium this week? Because, I mean, ideally, the traditional strategy has been this week downgrade, next week upgrade.
Yeah. So, I mean, at first, I put a prayer out there to the people that traded from Williams to Whitfield. There's a few that have done that. That's quite harsh in the world of Supercoach. But to answer the question on who you would trade them to, like, I mean, looking at me personally, I don't have Lloyd. I mapped out my trades in advance, and I was going to have to let Lloyd slide. So the obvious trade-in for me is going to be Lloyd, and it's also the obvious one for me as well because I'm quite light in the round 14 buy round. So for that reason, that's going to balance my buys a little bit further as well. So it actually works out to almost to be a perfect thing for me. Now, as for the other trades, I traditionally don't trade pre the first buy round. And the only trades I usually make outside of scenarios like this is if I've got some donuts sitting on the sidelines there and there's an opportunity there to fill a gap. You know, like at the moment, it might be Scott or something like that. And I've actually got that penciled in to trade him off to somebody potentially. So again, it comes down to how many trades you've got left and what your balance is. But I'd certainly be using that opportunity to get that balance for sure.
I'd almost look at this period in terms of how many upgrades do I have left to go and how do I want to stagger it across the 3 weeks and take that into account in terms of, well, maybe picking up around 14 buy forward this week will help my balance. So that may be the avenue to look at.
And where are you at? How many have you got to go for the rest of your team?
I've got only two. But I've got like plenty of side swaps. So I'm including, you know, Brody Smith, Darcy Moore, Tom Liberatore. They're still in my team. Right. I've got two rookie upgrades and then a few side swaps, which I've still got 18 trades. So I will be more than comfortable in getting to that fully upgraded side. It's just this year, the problem has been more acceleration of cash to get there quickly and not slow down in the process of getting there, more so than not being able to get there myself. But of course, everyone has sort of different scenarios that they're facing into. I know certainly the top teams who have lucked out with, you know, every golden rookie under the sun is looking down on us plebs with Brad Bailey Scott still on our teams going, look at you. But I've got two left for myself. Now, so that we can focus the question a little bit, let's say you were looking at a like-for-like replacement in the back line, or, you know, eventually you need to get to a back line replacement. So you're looking for a back line player this week. In that scenario, who would you then look at in terms of top trade-in options? You know, obviously aside from Lloyd, who I think would be the clear standout.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, there's a few there. I think the one that presents the most value at the moment, again, with buyers aside, is probably Laird at 504K. He looks pretty much a stand-up 100 all the way through. He's a bit under where he's been in the previous couple of years, but that looks like a fairly solid trade that you're not really going to lose out on. A couple others is hot player at the moment. It's Hooley. Hooley's going really well. B of 41, 541K. Really, really good form at the moment. I think Short's still 3 or 4 weeks away, so that could be another really good option that I like. Probably the other one's maybe Sicily. but he just feels like he's just a tier under at the moment. So he may come back as the year sort of progresses on, but he just feels a little bit under. So I guess if I was going to go in those orders in the order there, I would probably pick Laird at my end from a value security point of view. And if I want to be a little bit riskier, I'll probably go to Hooley.
Yeah, I'd go Lloyd one. I don't think I'd have Hooley in there just because I'm a little bit nervous about his ability to keep up the current average that he's priced at. Last week, he was only priced at 505K with a pretty low break even. This week, yep, after another big score, has gone up. So I'd say that if you didn't get him already, he's been cheaper, you know, pretty much every single week prior to this point. I feel like potentially take a position on someone else, even though I don't hate the pick. But I'd have Lloyd one, probably Laird two. I really like how consistent he is. If you look at his score, I think his worst for the year is like 83, 84 or something, which is pretty hard to find in the back line. So it's hard to go wrong there. Yeah. And then probably the other two would be Sicily and Ryan. So Sicily's very cheap at the moment, 490K, just about bottomed out. And Ryan, about 523K is the fifth highest averaging defender at the moment, which is great. Both of which play or have their bye this week. So that's another reason why I probably have them high in consideration. I know a lot of people are looking quite comfortable in terms of their round 12. Round 13 is really the tough one with Gorn Grundy out. And round 14 presents some of its own challenges. But this round, most people are looking pretty healthy. So I'd be looking at a bit more aggressive trade-ins this week and then leave yourself with less headaches in the coming rounds.
Yeah, I think that's a good point with those guys in the bye this week. Yeah, and I do like the Ryan trade as well. I think it's quite good.
All right, listeners, we have FB Donkey ready to join us.
G'day, boys.
Well, I'm not going to labor on how'd you go on the weekend and stuff like that, because I know you've had a bit of a horror and you were keen to move past it pretty quickly. Before we get into more questions, Mark, did you have any comments about the weekend or anything to add before we get going?
I do. I'm not sure how this is going to work, but... yeah, it was a good weekend for Liverpool on the weekend, mate. That's all. Good. I went to Carlton Essendon on Saturday night, but didn't really care who won after Liverpool won the Champions League on Sunday morning.
Congrats, mate. I've got a cousin and a colleague at work that are absolutely loving it at the moment. So, yeah, good to see them finally get up.
I've got your score here, Mark, if you want me to tell everybody.
It was in the 20s, sadly for you, Mark. So we'll keep it at that.
Yep.
And I guess we'll move on to some questions. So this next one that we have here is from Steve McKenzie from Facebook. If Matt Crouch is out for another week, is he worth trading? Now, I had a quick look at the injury sheet. At the moment, he's still listed as a test on the injury list at the moment. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, it's been quite painful. I did see a tweet there from their strength and conditioning coach or something along those lines where he did 10 to 12 kilometres of running on the weekend, but it's these ballistic movements again. So I just think he needs to harden up. Sloan's out, get in there and cop the De Boer tag, as simple as that.
They're about to have their bye as well, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Look, I mean, I guess to answer the question about should you trade him out, I'm not going to trade him out. I just think trades are so tight at the moment to be sidewaysing. The time to do that was 2 to 3 weeks ago when we probably didn't know what was going on so much. I think it's a hold at this point, unless you're really struggling over the bye rounds for that round 13, you want to move it now. So,
yeah, I will rage trade guaranteed if he's out again this week. The only reason that I haven't traded him is because it would have interfered with my upgrade cadence, and it won't be this week. So, yeah, he's gone for me if he doesn't play this week. It may not be the wisest, most strategy central trade, but I've had enough of that shit.
Yeah, look, he was averaging 107 before his injury affected last game. So he's pretty damn close to, you know, your true 110 plus premium in the midfield. That's the part I'm grappling with.
Yeah, but you could look at that. So that's like massive upside, right? But we looked into those stats as well. And if you took out week one, he's averaging closer to 100, 102, which is not very close to 110 per week. Plus, he's got an abdominal injury. He's obviously able to run a long way but not perform fully. Adelaide had a really easy draw for the first 7-8 weeks, which is now gone. Yeah, lots of reasons why he would not be a good idea to keep.
I mean, I don't know if the reasoning that I have is causing me to make a poor decision with this, but it's almost like I've held Matt Crouch for 3 weeks. Am I really trading him out now when he's on the verge of returning if that only puts me behind everyone who traded him out previously and puts me in a position where I'm behind the people who keep on to who keep him, and he turns it around the second half of the season. It feels like you're neither here nor there. Like, you've taken half a position both ways, and that doesn't feel like a strong strategic move.
Well, you add to that as well, there's a lot looking at him as a value upgrade option as well. So it's just one of those things. You're still going to lock in the loss or not. I can understand what Mark's saying. I'm furious with where it sits at the moment. But for me, looking at my trade plans and my trades are at, I can't move him on now. I've really got to hold that trade. So
yeah, look, it depends on a few things, Marcus, because like I've got 18 this week. So if Crouch is out, I've got 17. So if I'm moving him to a premium, that's a lot of points straight up. Plus, if he misses this week, I'm sure that he misses next week before the bye.
Yeah, it's a good point of the situation, because I've got 20 this week. So yeah, it's context, right? For sure.
Whereas for me, next week, I'm the hardest hit. But this week, I've got 20 on field. And then the last week, he's my second midfield premium on the buy. So I guess you'll have to look at your trades. But if you're looking at potentially losing two premium scores where you're hard hit both in round 12 and round 14, that's the time I'd most likely recommend trading him out. It sounds like we're not going to be unanimous on this one, and it's going to be a bit of the shoe that fits is the one that you're going to have to put on. So yeah, hopefully that's enough direction to
hopefully he plays and we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, good point.
That's true.
Although the thing that worries me is that we're getting exactly the same information out of the club as we have every other week. I guess my concern is that there's no way De Boer goes to him. I think De Boer probably goes to Laird.
Sloan's out now, right? So you'd hope so. Otherwise, it might go to Crouch, and that would be not so good.
Well, crunch match for Sloan out. You'd think there'd be a little bit more pressure for him to play, but I guess we'll see when the sheets are dropped.
All right, next question. This one's from Brett Falwell on Facebook. Riley O'Brien, to trade or to hold? And there's talk that Jacobs will come back in this week. I think he scored like 200 ranking points or something in the Sandfall on the weekend. So he's primed to get back into the team. Now, if they decide to drop O'Brien, I guess that's probably the most pressing question. What would you do in that scenario? Is that a definite trade, or would you still potentially hold on with the hope that, you know, if he plays with Max Gorn and Brody Grundy out, that'd be pretty damn sweet.
My prediction is we don't see him again, mate.
Yeah, and I mean, even as well, if it suits your upgrades, what you're doing there, even if he's playing, I just don't know, is it worth holding him for those points they might sit in there for? I think he's gone for sure, and I think it's an absolute luxury for people that have Rob to be able to use that cash to upgrade, because it's few and far between at the moment.
I'd agree with that. I don't think you necessarily need to trade him out this week, because probably you're going to upgrade next week and try and get a little bit of cash in bank this week. If he's not playing this week or next week, it probably doesn't matter, because you've got Gorn Grundy playing this week anyway. So I don't mind holding O'Brien for another week, but I definitely look to trade him across the bye periods. I have no issue of trading him this week.
Yeah, I reckon you'd go this week, because like next week you'll be wanting to trade to live players. This is like the perfect week to trade to a rookie that doesn't need to play, because you're just trading into that ruck rookie and having a whole bunch of cash ready to go for next week.
Yeah, you can set up almost a double upgrade next week just on the back of that for sure.
Next, we're going to move on to questions around sort of buy strategy, trading, and sort of how rookies are playing into that, and the fact that, I mean, we've been talking about a lack of rookies for a while now, but it's only compounding. It's getting worse and worse and worse, and during the buys, we're at sort of peak terribleness in terms of trading options. But we'll start with some questions around buy structure, and this first one's from @Catter2018. What's the ideal buy structure, including how many premiums each week versus rookies versus mid-price players, etc.? So for this one, I'd say in general, you want to have a pretty good spread of your premiums. Your rookies and mid-prices don't matter as much. You're probably looking to side-swap mid-price players or swap mid-price players to premiums around the buy to complete your upgrades. So that's generally the play with that. But I'd say the main thing to keep in mind is look at your premium split and try and spread them as evenly if possible. But otherwise, the main thing to look at is, like, if you've got more than 18 premiums in a week, which seems like it'd be very unlikely, then that's obviously way too much. But you're wanting to have a decent spread. Whether or not you have an extra rookie playing on your bench or out of your 18 or not doesn't really matter a huge amount. It's more about when and where the premiums are playing. Any thoughts about that, Mark?
Well, I think it's probably a little bit late to be worried too much about that, because your teams are kind of pretty set at this stage. So I guess you're just trying to look to get to 18 on field without making any crazy decisions to get that 18th, 19th, 20th player on field. And for me, it's all around getting my upgrades right, getting my timing right, looking at what rookies might be available, and looking at who my target premiums to trade in are over the next 3 weeks. I think this is the one time a year where planning 3 weeks ahead is really wise.
I guess I echo those sentiments as well. I think a lot of people spend a lot of time looking at, I've got to get 18, but that 18th player is almost always a rookie, and it's usually you've pushed so hard to trade to get that player and you get 30, 40 points out of it. It's a bit more of a focus on spreading those premiums out, as Mark said. It's almost set, but you do have some influence over it. And for instance, I'm looking at my buy trading plans. I've got 13 this week, 14 next week, and 13 in the last week. So it's reasonably even based on trading plans. So you have a good look at that premium spread for sure.
What does the diary say, Mosey?
What does my diary say? There's a bit of a joke there about that because Moosey keeps a diary right back from before 2010. So it's improved over the years, mate.
I love it. All right, next question. This one's from @Trouter87. Has Darcy Moore hit his ceiling? And if so, should we trade this week or on or after his buy? So basically any non-essential trades this week, you should probably hold off unless it's to build bank to upgrade next week, or it's to swap to give yourself a better buy configuration before the buy. So to your point before, Mark, you're saying there's limited influence that you can have over your buy structure now. That is true to a certain extent. But the other thing that's true this week is whatever trades you make this week, pretty similar to any other trade you'd make in the prior weeks, in the sense that every single player will still have their buy coming up. So you can sideswap players for a better buy configuration this week, and that's probably the week to do it. But outside of that, players like Darcy Moore, players like Tom Liberatore, you've kept them this long. What you're actually trying to do is hold them until they have their buy and trade them down to a player that has already had their buy. So Darcy Moore has his buy in round 13. Instead of trading him out this week, you should look to trade Darcy Moore out next week instead to a guy who's fresh off his buy in round 12. And that's certainly my plan for Darcy Moore next week.
Yeah, and his BE is only 94-odd, so he's not going to lose that much cash really. So
I guess the other part of that question was, has he hit his peak and should we be looking to get rid of him? And look, I think that he probably has, and you should try and get rid of him next week if you can. I think that a lot of teams are realistically going to be struggling to even upgrade players like Moore at this stage of the season, just with just trying to get a fully upgraded team.
Yeah, that's definitely a pretty real reality that coaches will have to consider. And that's another reason for mapping your trades out for the next 3 weeks. I know in the pre-show, Moosey, you mentioned that you'd done the same and you realized that you might have to take a value pick because you've done that analysis. So that's something that you have to keep in mind. If you have X amount of cash to achieve three final upgrades and you're not going to hit a pure up premium for each of those three, well, which one of those three spots are you happy to take a compromise position on, or which player are you happy to take a compromise position on? Maybe Jack Darling for 320, who can score you 135. Ba-cha!
Oh, boom tish. Yeah.
All right, next one. This one's from @TheFanatic. Is the strategy in an ideal world to downgrade if possible this week to build up cash in bank so we can buy into primos next week? Now, this one is particularly interesting because I referenced this strategy before, and I think in general it is the strategy. But what do we do when that's the strategy and this week there are no rookies available? What do you think, Mark? How do you navigate through that?
It hamstrings you a little bit and you can't really do anything realistically. Like, there's no point downgrading to a player that's not going to be playing during the buys. This is the worst time of year to be bringing in a completely dead player, unless you're doing it in that third ruck position where it doesn't matter anyway because nobody's playing.
Well, that takes me to Mark Leonard's question, one of our patrons. So, you know, his question is, with so few rookies getting a game this week, should we just forget about trading this week? And there are a few people that suggested maybe taking a pause on trades this week for that exact reason. Now, that feels a bit wrong to me because we don't have fully upgraded teams. There's still opportunities to take, even though they might be riskier. What do you think about that, Mark?
Be interested to hear what you think the opportunities are. So if Whitfield wasn't injured, I would probably, well, almost certainly be not trading this week. I don't have any round 12 players to go out of my team. So like, I can understand going like a round 12 player to a Gardner or Bewley or Clark sort of situation. But I don't have any way of doing that.
Yeah, I can, let me add to that as well. So when I mapped out my trades, looking at that last position, my final position for upgrade ends up being D6, which is Dersma. So I'm there looking now at the trades I'm making. For instance, I wanted to target Neil. If I take Neil, then I can't upgrade the last position. But then I've actually got this opportunity where I look at someone like Scott that's sitting there at 170-odd K. He's already a dead rookie. If I trade him to another donut, to a 102K rookie, I get 68K. Then all of a sudden, I've got an additional 68K for the last round, and I can upgrade upgrade that last spot. So there is a couple of scenarios there, because it doesn't affect my buy structure, where you can trade out the dead rookie to another dead one. It doesn't matter so much.
Yeah, I know. For me personally, I've got a lot of players playing this week. I've also got Hinge and Bailey Scott that will continue to put pressure on my team in the coming rounds if I don't do anything about it this week. Because my team is undersubscribed on round 12 players, I'm actually looking to this week trade to potentially even a one-game rookie who's on the buy. So if next week I want to bring in three buy-free players, but in order to fund that, I'll need to bring in some cash this week, and I'm already light on in round 12 players this week, well, maybe it's okay for me to bring in round 12 buy players anyway. Like I said, any player I bring in today will have their buy in the next three rounds regardless. So I could take the opportunity and say, I can still fix my team for this week. So I've got Sicily, Fife, Dunkley, Liberatore, and Boak on the buy this week. Like, I'm really undersubscribed. I've got five players. So this week, I'm actually thinking, well, I might take the risk and go a week early on Ryan Gardner, and I might take the risk and go a week early on Brett Bewley, both of which are on the buy and both of which will hopefully continue to get games, so that next week I can trade to, you know, Luke Ryan, and I can trade to Jack McRae. So I'm looking at potentially that approach as a means to keep upgrading, but still help potentially with sort of buy structure.
Yeah, I mean, look, that makes sense for your team. I think that would be a more uncommon than common situation there.
So I guess in short, though, it sounds like potentially, you know, depending on the situation, okay / recommending certain individuals potentially not trade this week. Is that correct, Mark?
Yeah, and I don't think that that's necessarily a strategy that I've taken in the past. And I think that if there were any bubble boys available this week, then that would change things significantly. But the lack of rookies available this week has reduced the incentive to trade significantly if you don't have money sitting in your bank.
I guess throwing in there as well, you know, there is a chance that Haitley could be named. There's a chance that Brander could be named. Rotham, probably not so much Brander, but if Haitley comes in or Rotham comes in, considering the outs that they've got there, that would throw a bit of a spanner in the works. People would be looking at them quite hard, I think.
Yeah, agreed.
We've got a question here from Matthew Pearson on Facebook. Considering many coaches will struggle for next week's buy in particular, what are the moves we can start making this week to avoid a donut? So I've talked already about potentially doing some odd trades this week to bring in a player on the buy. Do you see any sort of out there scenarios where you can start planning ahead to avoid next week's donut? Or potentially would you consider, you know, trading out a round 13 buy player, you know, like a Darcy Moore a week early if, let's say, you're going to be under so much pressure next week that you need to spend some time this week dealing with that pressure?
Absolutely.
Any thoughts around
that? Yeah, absolutely. If you've got 20-plus players this week and you can help soften the blow next week where you might only have 15, then, I would start to prepare if I was in that situation.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. I will say that, but when it's borderline and you're sort of going down to 17 for 1 week, I still don't think it's absolutely all or nothing for that final position, because you're no doubt going to be stronger another week. So again, just got to balance that as well.
All right, last question on rookies / buy strategy. Is it worth trading non-playing rookies this week in advance to players who are on the buy, so Bewley, Clark, to bank cash for upgrades over the next few rounds? So I already said that I was thinking about doing this, but I suppose non-playing rookies in general, what's your approach to dealing with them through the buys? I'm thinking that at this stage I've got to hold potentially one of them, Hinge, but I probably don't want to hold two. That's probably about as deep as my thought process was getting. Mark, any thoughts around non-playing rookies? What are you facing into?
Well, it looks like I'm going to have sort of 18-plus every week, as long as I don't cover a swathe of injuries, which I think we have in the past before. Scott's my only non-playing player, and I think that, like what Moosey said before, that you're sort of trading to maybe upgrade from you might bring in a 30, or you might upgrade from a 30 to a 60, or you're looking at that trade might only get you 40, 50, 60 points over the next couple of weeks. So my gut says probably don't trade him. And I probably expect him to, with the new coach, to come back in at some stage. Although I saw he only had 14 touches on the weekend. So my position at the moment is, probably hold Scott. If Haitley's named, it would be very hard to resist that move though.
Yeah, I agree on the Haitley move, and I'm just slightly different, just purely on the fact I've mapped it out. That 70-odd K of trading Scott to another donut is going to make a big difference for that last upgrade for me, so it's more about the cash than the points.
It's got to be horses for courses again, so have a look. Even if you keep Scott, Mark, you're mainly keeping Scott because, you know, barring a no injuries, you're actually looking like you don't need Scott anyway. Potentially that changes a little bit if just trading in a rookie might get you a free score, even if it's low. If the 50K may also help with, you know, another upgrade or whatever the case may be. So, but I think the bottom line to that, James, is that we're not necessarily against it, and it certainly can be a good strategy for the week. And it looks like we're going to look at a few more alternative strategies, potentially not trading this week, which is unlike previous years. Now,
I guess just thinking, like, if you're going to go with Moosey's strategy, you'd probably be wanting to bring a DPP player in as cheaply as possible into that position just to open up your options for later in the year.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And just the back end of James's question, talking about Bewley and Clark early, you just got to be cautious of that as well, because they're key targets over the bye rounds. For instance, Atkins to Bewley is going to be pretty popular if Bewley gets a game. And just got to remember the future trades as well.
And I guess you've got to think that there's going to be three bombers coming back in. I know Clark played great on the weekend, but whether he gets a third game or not, and you're spending $150,000 on him. And Bewley, he has been in winning sides for a couple of weeks, but only just, and he missed a couple of easy shots of goal on the weekend and didn't score particularly well.
Now, in terms of rookies, are you gents looking to, you know, outside of your slightly odder trade, Moosey, but are you looking to bring in any rookies on the bubble this week or who've played a game or two? Like, are you looking to trade in a rookie this week?
No, not for me. It's only that odd trade we talked about there and dealing with Whitfield. Outside of that, it'll all kick off post this first trade for me, first buy round for me.
Yeah, same here, mate. I can't really see many situations where I'd be bringing in a rookie this week.
Haitley and Rotham, I guess, is the only ones I'd say if they get named. It's going to be hard to pass.
For me, I suppose, Haitley might change things, but otherwise I'm actually looking at going early on Gardner and potentially Bewley this week. So we'll see how that goes.
We've seen how that's worked out for you in the past.
Thanks, mate.
With
him. Yeah, thanks. Especially after I gave myself such a big pat on the back on the podcast. I was like, guys, I mean, of all the people I brought in, to bring in Hinge, inspired. What a great game. Look at Robbie Young with his 17. Bet he's going to get dropped next minute. Robbie Young stays in the team and bloody Hinge gets dropped. God.
It's hard to read. Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. A few questions just to wrap up the show. Patrick Cripps, is it crazy to consider trading him out? Sam Paul has asked that question on Facebook. He's at 542,000, but you know it's pretty common vernacular at the moment. Shut down Cripps, shut down Carlton. Do you see that as a concern moving forward?
Me, no. I don't. I think you need to be in a reasonably unique situation to be trading out players like Cripps. I think he's a hold.
Yeah, given his record, the way he scored over the first 5 or 6 weeks and the fact that you're not even like cashing him out for a lot of money, very tough to trade Cripps out. Yeah.
Cool. Next question. This one's from CJ James on Facebook. What do we do with underperforming keepers? Do we trade them around the buys or do we just keep them and build the rest of the team around them?
Mark, you'd be looking at Billings, wouldn't you, in this scenario?
Yeah, to be honest, I have. And the one that comes up with Billings is Zeeble. I'm not sure that...
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Dunkley.
I couldn't get to Dunkley. I would need to do Whitfield down to someone pretty low to be able to get to Dunkley. Otherwise, I would potentially consider that, actually. Yeah, Zeeble's the one that has a better buy and is close in price and I could get to. But, yeah, I'm not totally convinced that Zeeble's going to score more than Billings over the course of the year.
Yeah, I'd probably back that in, to be honest, because I watched that game pretty closely on the weekend. And, yeah, new coach, looks like he's back in the middle. I guess time will tell, but I don't mind the pick, to be honest.
Yeah, and I guess that, like, Zeeble had the food poisoning or whatever going into last week and got tagged the week before. So, like, he has got some excuses for his low scores the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, look, I was considering Zeeble, I think, 2-3 years ago. And I remember back then, Mark, you giving me a bit of grief for looking at Jack Zeeble. So, I'm a bit surprised you're looking at him now. When you got to look for some value options. Brother. Sorry?
Desperate times, brother.
All right. And with that, we'll move on to overrated v. underrated. And this one's being posed by Shannon Swan, our Patreon. Is Cornelio fool's gold or a must trade in this week? I remember looking at him this week going, I actually need a midfield more than I need a forward. I actually traded in Cameron as my 7th forward. So I was thinking like, maybe Cornelio. And then I went
Did
looking
you
at his
high when you thought about it?
Yeah, I thought maybe. And I stuck with Jeremy Cameron. And then Cornelio goes out and scores 207. So I don't think I was ever close to it. But when you ponder it and then it happens like that, you go, ah, oh, damn, I could have been smarter. But, you know, now that he's scored his...
It was not smart to bring him in the week before, mate. He's coming off 9 scores in a row below 105, a 75 and a 76. He missed a game. He had a corky in round 10 that he was struggling to get up for the game. The 207 came from nowhere.
Agree. So you reckon a bit of fool's gold then?
Yeah, I do. Like, he's had 2 big scores for the year, and that might be enough to get his average up, but what he's done in between has not been great and has had some injury troubles, I guess, along the way. Kelly's back. That might have – I think that's impacted his time on ball a little bit. So I think that they'll spread the load a little bit of the Giants, and I'm not sure how much of it he will get. I know some people are considering him this week. I think considering him as a cash cow where you could bring him in and he's going to make 70 or 80,000, that's a pretty out there position to me. I don't think I could stomach that one.
Yeah, I think the 207's gone, and there was a lot of talk the last couple of weeks of people flicking him, getting rid of him. I think it's probably a little bit of fool's gold as well, but I don't blame people for going there. But yeah, that 207 is absolutely gone.
Yeah. I have him as a little bit overrated during the preseason. And I think his scoring so far reflected that. And I think after 207, again, probably a little bit overrated there as well. What comes with him playing in the forward line is an ability to have those bigger scores. And we saw that last year, him being a pretty popular selection in 2018, which is great. So when he manages to get on a few and dominate in the midfield, wow, huge numbers. But the downside to him spending X amount of time in the forward line is you then see the 80s and the 70s a lot more than you would with a traditional midfielder that plays 100% of the time in the guts. So just something to keep in mind there. All right, let's finish up with a captain's corner. I did a little bit of research again this week, so I'm going to rattle off a few and then let you gents add into that. My top VC option for the week is Lachie Neale against Carlton, although his former record against them came playing for Frio. His last three against Carlton have been 134, 159, and 134. So that's pretty damn sick. And I'd be pretty excited about chucking the VC on him if I had him. Apart from that, Patrick Dangerfield, his last 7 scores against Richmond have been 100s. Since crossing over to Geelong, his record against Richmond, 101, 138, 102, and 132. I think he will be in for a pretty decent game, especially because they're going to struggle even more in their back line than they have the last time Danger met the team. And Danger should be able to be a pretty good target up forward, kick some goals. In terms of captaincy options, I've got Clayton Oliver as my top backup this week versus Collingwood, 107, 117, and 127, his last three against them. And then Jake Lloyd is another decent option, his last 2 against West Coast. So in 2018, he scored 119 and 122 against the Weagles. I left Gorn and Grundy out there because they play...
Yeah,
and I think Gorn's last 2 against Grundy has been in the 70s, and Grundy hasn't scored above like 110, 120 against Gorn. So I'm a bit nervous there. Do you think that's a bit silly, or should I be giving one of them the backup captaincy?
No, I'm with you, mate. I probably have one of the Geelong boys, Kelly or Danger, into Lloyd personally.
Yeah, I think you've sort of said most of them in there, but I'm actually, even on the record's not great over the last few years, I've got the Josh Kelly for the VC. I think just his form of late at the moment, I like the idea of putting the VC on him at the moment, and then we'll just pick up one of those backups you just talked about.
Yeah, nice one. All right. Thank you very much, gents, for joining us for the Round 12 show. It's a very exciting time, the buys. I know you've got to be a bit of a sucker for punishment and a bit of a tragic to love the Supercoach buys because they're painful to deal with, but we have a good record of navigating through them well, and it's always exciting to see where you pop out after the 3 rounds. And I know our leagues as a whole need a bit of a kick up the butt, so I'm hoping this is the kick that we need. Gents, any final thoughts to wrap up the show?
Brilliant.
Okay.
It is one thing that soccer has over the AFL is pretty fucking mad songs.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah, look, my final notes are is just take the time, if you haven't already, just have a map out what your trades are going to be. It only takes half an hour. Have a look at what you're planning to do over the next few weeks, because you might end up finding a shock with those last couple of upgrades, and you've got the opportunity now to influence that and better it in the end. So that's what I recommend.
Well, it feels like my team's been on the buys for the last 5 weeks with how many premiums I've had off the field. So I feel pretty practiced and pretty prepared for the buys compared to most teams, I reckon. So feeling pretty good about it.
Love it. What are you going to do with Whitfield, Mark? I think you didn't get to answer that question.
It's a really tricky question. I think so. My thought process is that I would like to get some cash out of it. To be honest, my favorite option is probably Harris Andrews. But I think that the round 13 buy with him just makes it basically impossible for my team, and unless I invented a couple of other trades. And so that would sort of lead me into maybe a Rory Laird option. But then I did mention earlier that I think De Boer will probably go to Laird this week, and that seems like a pretty bad idea. It's just that Laird can score okay for the rest of the year. Yeah, so still a little bit undecided. Really disappointed that there's not a lot of really great value lying around in defense at the moment, or not even someone that I'm really comfortable to take a punt on. So yeah, a little bit unsure. What was your advice?
We talked about the fact that you could trade to another premium in another line, and it didn't matter so much across the buys. So if you didn't like the value in the back line value options, you could potentially take a midfield or a forward value option. Does that strategy?
Yeah, I got no DPP way of doing that.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that doesn't help. Well, now that we're no help, we'll sign off.
Thanks, mate.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye. Don't want to get crazy. Don't want to get crazy. Don't want to get crazy.